So we're in week five of this six-week sermon series on evangelism, and we have been challenged, I believe, I know I have, and I trust you have as well, to be engaged with what we've called the Jesus mission, to be those followers of Jesus who are called to do our part, to reach those who've not been embraced by the love and forgiveness that God extends to them, have not taken that in for themselves, to be a part of that work that restores the world by doing those things that make the world more like the place that God intends it to be, and then to have that mission be reproduced in other followers of Christ. And so for this series, we've kind of focused on a very simple strategy to live this call, to reach and to restore and to reproduce, and that is, can anyone tell me the strategy? It's called the what? The bless strategy, yeah. Let's bless our world. That's the strategy. Each letter of the word bless, standing for simple actions that we can do that can change lives and in fact, change the world. The B means to begin with prayer. And we've been challenged while we've been on this journey together, and I hope it'll continue beyond the end of this series, to just begin each day with a simple prayer. God, how do you want me to bless the world today? Who do you want me to bless with my life today? You see, a prayer like that begins to orient us to others. The L, can anyone tell me what the L stands for? Listen, yeah, listen with care. It recognizes that the power of listening to convey genuine concern to others opens the door for Christ to be shown in our listening. Last week we talked about the E, which is eat together, and simply that is extending hospitality to others by having a meal together or getting together over coffee, whatever it may be, because we saw that throughout the Gospels, and we looked at one passage in particular, Jesus spent significant time just in meals with others to form community and deepen his connection with those in need. And so today we're on the first S, the next to the last sermon in this series, and the S stands for simply to serve with love. You know, as we go about kind of following this strategy of first beginning with prayer, listening with care, eating together, that's going to open up all kinds of opportunities to serve others. We're going to find out the needs that others have. And serving others, of course, was at the heart of what Jesus did. Over in Matthew's Gospel, the 20th chapter, the 28th verse, Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And you know, of course, in John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, that's that great scene where Jesus is with his disciples, that last time that he'll be with them, preparing to eat the Passover, and he takes a towel and a wash basin, he washes their feet, showing what it means to be a servant, even the Lord of the universe, to care for his disciples in that way. And in verse 15 of John 13, Jesus is recorded as saying this, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And I would also add, if I would dare add something to those great words, not only will you be blessed, but you will then be a blessing to others if you serve in this way and when we serve in this way. God will love others through your service. Now, serving others was at the heart of Jesus' ministry on earth. It was also at the heart and is at the heart of our heritage as an evangelical covenant church. You know, we've been in this small group that's been meeting at the Parsonage over the last several weeks studying this book entitled The Pietist Option. It's written by two covenanters. And one of the things they draw us back to in the process of that study is that reminding us that our spiritual and historical roots trace back to a revival movement that took place late in the 17th century in Lutheranism. And that movement was called Pietism. Now, you hear that word Pietism, a lot of times there's a lot of meaning attached to that that's not really accurate in terms of who the Pietists were and what the Pietists did. But central to the Pietist understanding of the Christian faith was that we were called to live a life for God's glory and neighbor's good. Called to live a life for God's glory and neighbor's good. Now, significantly for the Pietists, one's neighbor was not limited to fellow Christians. Our neighbors are not limited just to those who believe like us. We're called to serve anyone because God loves everyone. Now, when the author, or one of the authors of the book, a professor by the name of Chris Gertz, he writes in the book, Pietists glorify God by seeking their neighbor's good. We glorify God by seeking our neighbor's good. Now, Kate has already alluded to this, but that is rooted in who we are as a covenant people. Our denomination started on February 20th, 1885, just over a year later. In April of 1886, we started the Home of Mercy, which became then Swedish Covenant Hospital, just a year later, to serve that community, that neighborhood. I found, so I trust that it's true, on Wikipedia, these notes about Swedish Covenant Hospital, that in one of the original records it states that it had 12 iron beds, 2 wooden washstands, a bookcase, a sofa, a swing, and a table with 6 chairs. That was the Home of Mercy 1 year after our denomination began. And now, you look at Swedish Covenant Hospital as one example of serving for neighbors' good, one of the most ethnically and economically diverse communities in the entire United States. That's who we are. And this is what prompted the early covenant leader, who was a layperson, not a pastor, a fellow by the name of Carl Olaf Rosenius. This is what he meant when he said, everyone must preach with your life. You preach with your life by serving others with love. We preach the gospel of Christ with our lives. Now, next week, we're going to do the last S in this blessed strategy, which is sharing your story. Because we all know that what it means to give witness to Christ is that it's always both show and tell. You know, it is both showing the love of God in our lives and in our service and ministry. It's also telling and speaking forth the love of God and proclaiming the message of the gospel. We'll get to the tell part next week, but we're going to focus on the show part this week. So I want you to take your Bibles. I don't know why I laid my glasses down, because I need them. Turn to Mark's gospel. We're going to look at chapter 7, beginning in verse 31. It is on page 1568 in your pew Bible. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his finger into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, said to him, Ephrathah, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they talked about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So as we think about this text as an example of how we are to serve with love, I think the first thing I want us to notice this morning is the dynamic or the element of proximity. In verse 32, the text says that some people brought this man to Jesus, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on them. They wanted Jesus to heal him. The people Jesus served were those who were near to him, that were right around him, those who were in close proximity to him. Now, this is probably obvious to all of you, but I have to confess that I have whiffed on this one too many times. You know, I get distracted by my to-do list or some place I need to get to before traffic starts to really build up. And how often have I missed and failed to extend simple kindness or offer a simple act of service to someone right in front of me because of my agenda or what I need to get done? Jesus had this unique ability to focus on needs that were right there before him, right by him, in his proximity. Now, as you know, from the parable of the Good Samaritan, a neighbor can be anyone in need. But it's almost always someone who's in close proximity to us. Someone in your gym class. Maybe it's the guy who works on the loading dock or in IT. Your patients on the floor where you work at a hospital. Maybe it's that student that you teach who you've learned that their parents are recently going through a divorce. Perhaps it's your mail carrier or the person checking you out at the grocery store. Jesus had this unique ability to discern and focus on the needs of those who were right in front of him, in close proximity to him. The second thing I want us to notice about this short story is that Jesus served perceptively. Did you notice what Jesus did with the blind man? What does the text tell us? Well, before that, though, Olga, what does Jesus do with the blind man? He pulled him aside. He took him away from the crowd. Now, think about that for a minute, because Jesus, in other healing stories, he does it right there in the midst of them, in the midst of a great crowd. But with this man, he took him aside. He sort of got him off privately. And why did he do that? I believe one of the reasons is it shows just how perceptive and how considerate Jesus is toward the man. I mean, being deaf, he undoubtedly had endured his share of mockery, seeing people speak to him or even shout at him when he couldn't hear them. It had to be embarrassing for him. And when he tried to respond, because he was deaf, what came out of his mouth probably made it even more embarrassing, perhaps even shameful for him. So Jesus takes him away from the crowd. Jesus not only does a good thing for him, he serves him in a way that shows he understands the pain his need has caused him. He serves him perceptively. He perceives the best way to address the need. When we serve in love, we need to be perceptive in not only how we serve, but, well, how we go about doing that service. The third thing you notice is that he served him personally. Look with me in verse 34 of the text. As Jesus began to heal this man, the text says he looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. Now, the word here is not just a kind of a sigh. The translation is it's a deep sigh. It's more of a kind of a heaving groan that Jesus does. It's the kind of response you have when you get, you know, like some really sad news concerning someone you care about, and automatically, without even thinking about it, you say, "Oh, no." You know, you're just so struck by that need. And Jesus Jesus served this man with love by identifying in some way with the pain of his need. You know, serving with love, it's never detached. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have good boundaries when we serve, but our serving with love must be genuine. It must be personal. I read this week a story about Steve, do you pronounce his name, Covey? Wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Right? Is it Covey's? Dan, I know you know that book. Covey, yeah. He was on a subway one evening in New York City, and he was reading a book, and this man gets on the subway, he said, and the man gets on with his two young boys, and it's kind of everybody's tired, end of the day, work, you know. They're all tired, and so everybody's sort of to themselves. It's a quiet car, except for these two boys, and they're just running all over the place. They're just, you know, not paying any attention. And the man, the father, is not doing anything to kind of rein them in at all. So, you know, Covey sort of sits there, and he's sort of stewing because now he can't read his book. He's really distracted. So he gets up, and he goes over to the man, and he says, you know, you really need to kind of control your kids. You need to teach them some respect. And this is what Covey said, the man said to him. Yeah. I really don't know what to do. You know, we just came from the hospital. I was with my sons. Their mother just passed away. I don't know what to say. And with that, Steve was invited, however awkwardly, to enter into another man's pain and to serve with love. In order to serve with love, we need to be willing to understand, and as the Holy Spirit enables us, share in the pain caused by another person's needs. Serving with love is personal. The last thing about serving with love is that we have the opportunity, the privilege as followers of Jesus to serve powerfully, powerfully. Look in the text once again in verses 33 and 34. Jesus took him aside away from the crowd, put his fingers into his ears. He spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Epaphra, which means be opened. Jesus, as he's about to heal this man, looks up to heaven. I believe that action on Jesus' part indicates his deep connection and his wholehearted dependence on God the Father, his heavenly Father. Christ drew on the power that God had given him to serve with love, and that power of God enabled Jesus to do miracles. And let's not forget, that same power is available to you and me. That same power that Jesus experienced is available to us as well. Don't be afraid when you're serving God and the need is beyond what you can do to ask God for a miracle. Let me just remind us of something Jesus said to us. It was right before he went to his crucifixion and his resurrection. He said in John 14, verse 12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." So as you're serving people, be bold. If someone's sick, pray for their healing. As you're serving people, be bold. If they're struggling with addiction, ask God to set them free. As you're serving people in love, be bold. If they have a relationship that appears hopeless, pray for God to bring about reconciliation and restoration. Don't be afraid in your service to remind yourselves of the powerful God that is speaking his love to them through that service. And be bold to be that conduit of his love. You know, as I was thinking about this text, and I just wanted to finish with this. I know of so many instances, it's one of the joys of being the pastor of this church. I know of so many instances of how you serve others with love, not only within this congregation, although a lot of that happens, but also beyond this congregation. I know of numerous rides given to those in need of them. I know of hospitality being extended on a regular basis. I know of those who take bottled water and sandwiches and hand them out to homeless people that you pass on your morning commute. I know of others who provide emergency childcare at the drop of a hat, or who take a hot meal to someone who's just come home from the hospital. I hear stories of you writing notes of encouragement or visiting with someone you know who's lonely that you haven't seen in a while or that you've just met in your neighborhood. You know, serving with love, it's not elaborate. Jesus said that even a cup of cold water given in his name is worthy of a reward. But I want to challenge all of us this week. As you heard these aspects of what it means to serve with love, proximity and being personal, of tapping into the power of doing it with perception, I hope God brought to mind somebody in your world that needs you to do an act of service for them this week. I want to challenge you, whomever God brought to your mind or may bring to your mind in the next day or so, to be intentional about finding a way to serve that individual or that family with love this next week. You know, when we come back next Sunday, we're going to be sharing our thanks and our giving thanks to God. Maybe one or two of you will have a testimony about how God blessed you as you served with love this last week. Believe me, none of us will think you're tooting your own horn, because you'll be doing it to give glory to God. But let's continue to live out this strategy so that we can reach the lost, we can help bring the kingdom of God more fully back into the world, and we can reproduce this mission that is so vital and important for the good news to go forth from this place. Begin with prayer, listen with care, eat together, serve with love. Let's pray.